readings today come from Romans and from the Gospel of John, beginning with Romans. And these are two passages that focus us on the presence of the Holy Spirit given to the early church. Listen for the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 12, we hear Jesus speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A number of years ago, there were a series of billboards and T-shirts that were part of an advertising campaign for the milk industry. They had somebody with a mustache, and it said simply, "Got milk?" Question mark. Well, like the dairy farmers, somebody decided to have some T-shirts and billboards printed up for the churches. But their T-shirts and billboards simply asked the question in black and white, "Got God?" The problem is, you can't get God, because God cannot be captured. God cannot be captured, reduced, copyrighted, contained, or turned into a series of advertisements. God is alive. At the Exodus, when Moses was out in the wilderness, he turned aside because he saw the burning bush, and in the burning bush he encountered the living, dynamic presence of God, and when he asked God to give him his name, God simply said, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am becoming." God is transcendent. But it always seems that people have been trying to turn God into a series of platitudes and propositions, something that can reduce the complexity of God's holiness and the otherness into something that's domesticated, something that we can control. Jesus was a teacher of wisdom who came along to teach us the wisdom, an unusual wisdom that is different than what the usual wisdom teachers give. The usual wisdom teachers try to teach us how to succeed in life. And they say things like, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. A penny saved is a penny earned. Or the books that are out there today in the modern industry of wisdom teachers, all those books that teach us to be mindful, to focus on the one thing, the 7 habits of highly effective people, to look for the tipping point, to have the right mindset. You know that genre. They're all over in the bookstores. They speak in broad generalities about what's going to make you successful, the one thing you need to do to aim at personal success. But Jesus is talking about something different altogether. The wisdom of Jesus is not the wisdom of the culture around us. It is rather pointing to the mystery of God, the transcendence, the otherness of God. Shannon Hale, in her novel Goose Girl, says, quote, "If we don't tell strange stories, when something strange happens, we won't recognize it." Jesus sure was one to tell the strange stories. Because in saying the strange things that he said, he opened up new possibilities, new worlds. He gave unexpected phrases that connected us with this living, dynamic God. The Gospel Gospel of John speaks of Jesus in this way, that Jesus is the Word become flesh. Well, that's a strange way to put it when you stop and think about it, which is exactly the point. This Word is different from all other words. This is a Word that is more than words. This Word constitutes a body in action, a living presence of God. This Word, Jesus, doesn't just stand around waiting for things to happen. This Word, Jesus, is like that guy in chemistry class who takes the chemicals in a jar and shakes them up and documents what happens. Jesus is a catalyst. Jesus is a catalyst that's sometimes explosive. He reconfigures the creation again and again. And at the very least, with his words, he makes people see differently. He speaks about God, but all of a sudden, God is no longer vague, no longer about all those platitudes, those things you thought about God. But God is present and alive and active and unexpected. The poet W.H. Auden said of his personal faith in Jesus, quote, he said, "I believe because Jesus fulfills none of my dreams, because he is in every respect the opposite of what he would be if I could have made him in my own image," end quote. Exactly. Jesus doesn't conform to our expectations. Jesus doesn't come to tell us we're right, to say we're all fine, that we're on the right side of history. He's the presence of God who's leading us into the light and the life. The presence of God in Jesus sometimes makes us unhinged, and it opens up new doors and new realities and puts us again and again into a fascinating world of the living. Karl Barth, the great Reformed theologian, a man who wrote thick books in tiny print, he referred to the Bible as the strange new world of the Bible. Because no matter how much he studied and how brilliant he was, he kept on seeing new things as the Holy Spirit guided him in reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit keeps on surprising us with newness. If we keep on reading the Scripture, if we keep on opening ourselves to the living presence of God, that somehow this Jesus who speaks through the Holy Spirit keeps on being that catalyst, that explosion in our minds and hearts that helps us to see and relate to the world anew. It changes our sense of reality. It changes us. What was it that Jesus said to one of his disciples who wanted to sit around and be in mourning about the father that he'd lost? He wanted to just keep on mourning and mourning. Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury the dead. Follow me." Jesus recognized that there are ways of living, normal, everyday ways of living, that are a kind of living death. But Jesus keeps leading us out of this living death and into the new reality, taking us out of the taken-for-granted world and into the new world. Jesus does not turn everyone into his friend. He wakes people up. He seeks to bring them to life. Flannery O'Connor, the great Southern writer, once remarked that people talk about their religious faith as if it were an electric blanket, cozy and available for a quick and easy reassurance, always there to protect them against the truth of reality. But that's not Jesus at all. For Jesus, faith is not a warm blanket. Faith is about the cross. Faith is about the way of living sacrificially and engaging the world with love. That's the only possible way that the world can change. The only possible way because of the living presence of God's guidance. You hear Jesus say in the words of the passage that we heard today, "I have more to say to you, but you can't bear it right now." Jesus knows it's hard to bear the truth. It's hard to bear the truth of people suffering. It's hard to bear the truth of God calling us to be God's people and to reach out to those in suffering. It's hard to bear the truth that God calls us to walk the way of the cross in all of its manifestations in order that the world may change. So Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit to the church to keep on renewing us, to keep making us new, to bringing the living, dynamic, catalytic word of God to us. I think again and again of that classic hymn, Once to Every Man and Nation, that hymn that says, by the light of burning martyrs, Christ, thy bleeding feet we track, toiling up new Calvaries ever with the cross that turns not back. New occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. They must upward, still and onward, who would keep abreast of truth. That was written by James Lowell in 1845, a poem written to protest the war with Mexico. Faith has always been involved in the world because it's the world where people are suffering. The Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John doesn't just come to individuals. The Holy Spirit comes to the gathered church, to people together who talk with one another, debate with one another, open their minds and hearts to one another, and come to hear voices even on the far side of the world because they listen through the Holy Spirit together to what God has to say to them. New occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. Profound expression of faith given through the Holy Spirit, who in the name of Jesus keeps on teaching, keeps on revealing, keeps on giving us the wisdom of God that guides us into the future. Or as the early Presbyterians simply put it, we are reformed and always reforming. God isn't finished with us yet as we keep on reforming and opening ourselves to that love, that grace, that dynamic Holy Spirit that God gives to us. The wisdom of God given to us in the Spirit helps us to recognize where we go now and where we go next. What does Jesus talk about again and again in all these images of newness? Jesus speaks of old wineskins that could not hold new wine because the fermentation of the new wine would cause them to explode. Jesus is constantly giving us new wine, fermenting in us the Spirit that opens up new possibilities. It's the wisdom of God, powerful in its newness, delightful in its taste when its time is reached. The Apostle Paul speaks also of this, because Paul speaks of dying to the old self as Christ allows a new self to be born in us. Newness, a new life, a new seeing, a new spirit, a new perception. All this newness of God is the wisdom of God as God teaches us and guides us in the future. There's a sense of freedom that comes with this. Not that we're free to do just anything that we want, not that we're free to say anything that we want, not that we're free to believe just anything that we want, but it's the freedom to love, the freedom of sacrificial love that sets us free because we know Christ died for us, and so we are set free to give ourselves in God's grace to the world so that the love of God may have a new birth in the world. That's the wisdom of God. That's the freedom of God, the freedom to love. Franz Kafka wrote that a good book is like an ice axe. A good book is like an ice axe cracking away at the sea of ice inside of us all. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. An ice axe cracking away at the ice inside of our hearts and minds that we might be set free and that we might grow into the newness and the grace that God alone can give. Trying to set us free to live. To truly live, free to live in the passionate love of Jesus Christ, because when we live with him in his wisdom, we live in the love of God, which never ends, which makes us come to life again and again and again. May we live in his wisdom.